contending for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, I'm sure you've heard it a million times in the presentation of David and Goliath, that the passage is ultimately about you slaying the giants that are in your life. There have been many teachers, many Bible teachers who've written books and tallied up how many Goliaths that we have that all hurt us and cause us depression. And you could go on about the many Goliaths that you need to slay in your life. You need to cast down in your life. And I want to gently say, in love, that is not what this passage is about at all. In fact, you might be able to go to many places in the Bible and talk about how to work to overcome sin in your life. But 1 Samuel chapter 17, the story of David and Goliath, is not it. That's not what that passage is about. That passage is about us raising up Goliaths in our life so magnificent that we have bowed down and worshiped these idolatries and idols, so that we need a deliverer to come and save us. That passage is about Jesus. David foreshadows Jesus to come and fight the Goliaths that we have erected in the place of God, those things to which we bow down, those things that master us. But it's even bigger than that. We're going to look at today that this great passage is showing us the deliverance by the Savior, a shepherd king. In our day, everything is about us. And when we come to the Bible, we can't even think that it's not about us. But remember, the Bible, dear listener, is about Jesus. He is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, because wherever he is preached, people are pressed to believe in him and turn away from trying to do it themselves. That's a tough message for Americans. It's a tough message for feel-good and really positive-thinking preachers. It's just tough in our day. But it's a good message, because it's the message of a way of true salvation by the blood and the righteousness of Jesus. It's a way that gives the most glory to God. The whole series of David and Goliath could be titled, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." In other words, you don't slay the Goliaths in your life, Jesus does. And that's a message of true hope. Hopefully you'll be able to listen to this today with that in mind, because this is so important that we see Jesus. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Visit us on the web at agradio.org. agradio.org. The number is 888-504-8805. 888-504-8805. We are on Facebook at Abounding Grace Radio, Twitter at AG Radio 1, Instagram at Abounding Grace Radio, and also on that website, all the podcasts are there, free for download, and all these programs make use of. We go to a lot of work on that website to make these available, and we want you these to be a blessing to you. If you can support us, keep in mind that all of your support helps to go to take Abounding Grace Radio. We are throughout the continent of Africa, out of Zambia, many places in Canada and the U.S., so you are helping us reach some major population bases with the gospel of Jesus. This is now part two of a message that we aired yesterday, a closer look at God's champion. Thanks for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Every idol has that function. It's always tied to appearance. It's always tied to bigger is better. I mean, that's the American way, of course. It's always tied to performance. It's always tied to human greatness, notoriety, strength. Whatever appears to be strong, earthly greatness, earthly magnificence, whatever is wise in our own eyes, whatever we think is going to work, all of that is wrapped up in Goliath. Look at him. Study him. He's magnificent. He's magnificent. Saul and Goliath are of the same cut. They're of the same kingdom. Saul, when he faced no one greater than him, remember early on, when he faced no one greater than him, he would rise up like a Goliath and strike down all his enemies. What is this? But not this time. The real fight, I think, happens right now. And I believe the Holy Spirit is teaching us something so important today, especially as we come to the table, something that we know, but we have just the hardest time in this life living. Right here, the Lord is teaching us
He has to take down the Goliath we have made and try to put in his place. But you have to see him in your life. Do you see him? Israel couldn't see it. Israel couldn't see Saul. You have to see where he is. You have to see who he is. He bellows out. What kind of bondage bringer is he to you? When Goliath bellowed out, he said, "Are you slaves of Saul?" That's an interesting thing to say, isn't it? He recognized that Israel was under the same bondage. He had become slaves, and Goliath said, "Become slaves of me." Two kinds of different champions with bad slavery. Both were bringers of bondage. Well, that's where we begin to see something so wonderful here. David hears all of this, and he says, "Let no man's heart fail because of him." He comes before Saul. Saul hears that David is saying this. So Saul calls for David. And David says this to Saul. "Let no one fail. Let no one's heart fail. I will go out and fight this Philistine." Before we look at David, look one more time at Saul. What does he say? "And Saul said to David, 'You're not able to go up against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth. And he's been a man of war from his youth.'" What a reputation Goliath had. You know, I listen to that. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, who wouldn't say that? You're going out for battle. You're calculating. You're thinking about it. You're thinking about, there's no possible way, David, that you can go up against him. The question, of course, is what is Saul's solution? What is Saul's solution? Do you think this would be a good time to maybe bow the knee and pray? "Lord, would you help us? Would you deliver us?" Do you think this would be a good time to finally humble himself before the Lord? All his pride, all his self-indulgence, all of his games he was playing before the Lord with worship and everything. I mean, we studied all that. And finally bow the knee. But he doesn't. Hasn't anyone yet learned? And hasn't anyone yet learned in Israel that God wins the battle through something foolish so that no one would ever get the glory for themselves? I mean, you had Gideon, God chose 300 dog lappers, remember? And they went out and won. And God said, "Why? I don't want anyone taking credit for winning the battle. I don't want anyone thinking they're going to go slay the Goliaths in their life. They can't do it." Saul should know this, but he doesn't. So what's his solution? Here's the irony. Israel had chosen Saul for his sheer physical presence and strength to go out and fight the battles, and he won't step up. He won't step up. Why won't he put on his own armor? Why won't he put on his own armor? What do you read in the next section there, as this develops, in verse 38 of this section. "Then Saul clothed David with his armor." To which you all should stop and say, "What? What a wimp. What a wimp. You chose him. You said this guy's awesome. He won't even put on his armor and go out and deal with it." I stopped and I thought a lot about this week, and I thought, this is a really helpful treatise on idolatry. The idols that we have created, you know, the Bible has a lot of teaching on this. Isaiah 44, "All makers of idols are nothing, and the things they treasure are worthless. Their witness fail to see or comprehend, so they are put to shame, their witnesses. Who fashions a god or casts an idol which profits him nothing? Behold, all his companions will be put to shame, for the craftsmen themselves are only human. Let them all assemble and take their stand. They will all be brought to terror and shame. The blacksmith takes a tool and labors over the coals. He fashions an idol with hammers and forges it with strong arms. Hear it? I mean, they fashion an idol that has, for you young guys, guns, okay? Big biceps. And the rest of it, he makes into a god. His idol. And falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." What does the Bible say happens? Listen to this truth. What does the Bible say happens when we have idols over us like that? Psalm 115. You can read it today if you have time. Study it. Here's what it says. When we put our trust in any other false security, any other idol, listen to this, those who make them become like them. And so will all who trust in them. In other words, you become like the idol. It can't deliver, can't speak, can't talk. But you are beginning to be shaped into its image. What has just happened here? Saul was the idol of their wishes to deliver them. And what is Saul doing? He's dressing David up in his armor. The idol can't save him. So what's Saul doing? He's reshaping David into Saul's image. You understand that? We become dressed like them. We begin to think like them. That's Eliab. We begin to act like them. The idol is forming us into its image, all with an appearance that we can fight this battle on our own strength. That's what's so appalling about the way this passage is treated. It's that spirit. But guess what? The idol that you created can't deliver you itself. Then that means you're not going to deliver yourself either. You can't miss the message here. Here's the irony. Israel chose him for his sheer physical presence and strength to go fight their battles, and he won't step up. He won't step up. Why won't he put on the armor? Because he's a hireling. He's a hireling. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's seeing the wolf coming, and what's he doing? He's fleeing, and he's trying to put it on somebody else. Any confidence that we put in anything or anyone other than the Lord will be nowhere to be found when the battle day comes. Do you hear me? Anything that we are trusting in other than the Lord will be nowhere to be found when the day of battle comes. Now set this in contrast today to David. This is what I love about this text. I couldn't get too quick to the flinging of the stone, boys and girls. That's next week. You can't go fight this. You're a youth. David has one passion driving him. No matter what anyone thought, there was one thing troubling him, one thing that righteously made him infuriated. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to defy the armies of the living God? As the Philistine is cursing Israel's God, he has now come here, and we see in David absolute zeal for the name of the Lord. Wow. You're starting to think, zeal for the Lord's house has eaten me up. Who's like this? This is what drives a shepherd, you know. A deep love for the honor and name of the Lord. You'll see a shepherd in your homes as fathers this way, where the Lord's name is first, where his worship is first. That's a shepherd leading you. Here's what mesmerizes me today. What does David say to Saul? David says this. Saul says, "You can't do this. You can't do this. Your servant used to keep sheep." This is a marvel I'm preaching this. You know, it's, can you see Jesus yet? I know I'm giving it to you, but Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear who took a lamb from the flock, I went after him. And I struck him. And I delivered it out of his mouth. And if he rose against me, I caught him by his beard. And I struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. By the way, how many lions and bears have you ever struck down? I can tell you, when I go out to the forest, I'm carrying a can of that stuff that you spray. My wife thinks I'm panicked. And this uncircumcised Philistine is going to be just like that. You watch what I do to him. He has defied the armies of the living God. And David said, "The Lord," notice this confidence here, "the Lord who has delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. I'm a shepherd." Everything's contrary here to what you think. I'm a shepherd. My whole life has been to defend the flock. My whole life was given to defend the flock. It's in the constitution of a shepherd. Guess what? It's in the constitution of a true shepherd to fight wolves. Did you know that? That's what shepherds do. They fight off wolves. When these lions came and they take the sheep, I went out and I got every single one of those sheep. I didn't let one of those sheep perish. And every time the Lord was there helping and delivering me. See the confidence in the Lord here? This Philistine's going down. Now, what do you hear in that? It's absolute trust. And the whole message here is, you don't need any other strength than that. I don't need any other armor than that. The armor that God tells me to put on. That's Ephesians 6, isn't it? And that's his armor. Whoa, wait, whose armor? His armor, the armor of God. He dresses you in his armor. But you see, all of this is telling us something very important about the fight that we're in. The realm of Satan, the realm of darkness, the realm of the kingdom of darkness. I look at what the sheep are going through today. And I know you can't look at the past and say, oh, it was, you know, it's so much. How do you look at the past? It was always bad. But I look at what the sheep are facing today. And I have no doubt in my mind we're close to the end. I'm not predicting a thing. But the apostle said this, the day is at hand. What do you think they would have said in 2019 if we're still here? You are right at the door. What do you think the devil's doing right now? He is a dog. He is attacking in ways that are as vicious as he ever has to stumble you and assault you. And guess what? You buy into it with the idols you make and the trusts you put in. You see the message here? You're in a fight you can't win. You're in a fight you can't win. Goliath represents the kingdom of Satan and darkness in its magnificence. In other words, its sheer human view of power and strength and all that it comes at us with. But I'm stuck on the problem in Israel. The problem in Israel is what? Why won't they look to the Lord? Why are they looking to another Goliath? The real fight was in Israel. The real fight is in the church. To tear down all the false confidences. I mean, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. This is our fight. But we're not doing well without the Lord. And Eliab is just a case in point of reflecting Israel's unbelief. And there is right next to us the Goliaths of our own making that we have created who we think are going to fight the fight and win. The whole thing is saying to us today, oh Israel, look to your God. And now we see the answer today. A little shepherd who heads down to the brook and he grabs a few stones from the brook with his shepherd's pouch. And in absolute confidence and faith, he steps out onto the field and heads out toward Goliath. You picture it, boys and girls? That's next week. There he goes. He goes to the battle. He steps to the fight. Think about what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches him and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling and he cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. As my Father knows me, even so I, the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. See him going out. He's going to the battle. He's laying down his life for you. And other sheep I have, that's you, which are not of this fold, them I also must bring. And they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No man takes it from me. I lay it down. I go and I fight that Goliath for you. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it up again. What a shepherd. What a shepherd. And guess what? I won't do it with a sword. I'll do it through a cross. I think of the Roman cohort that day when a band of soldiers came with Judas, and there's lanterns and torches and weapons. And you read one statement there that absolutely always has marveled me. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen, stepped forward. He went forward, and he fought and won for you. This is who we see, a shepherd king. And what does the Lord do for you? Guess what? Guess what? You don't have to fight this fight in your own strength. Instead, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. He guides me. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't have to fear any evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me, and then this. And in the middle of my enemies, you prepare a table for me. Did you hear me? In the middle of your enemies, a table is prepared. And he restores your souls. I know that's what you need. And that's what he's saying to you. They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains around about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people forever. Jesus is your shepherd king. Trust him. Believe him. And enjoy the victory. This is what this is announcing. Enjoy the victory over the idols you've made, which you were not powerful enough to deliver yourself from. But you're here today, aren't you? And that's testimony of his strength in your life. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll-free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.